We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our weekly podcast, the Buffs Insider, along with Neil Welk at CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. As you were hearing this as it comes out on Friday, it is game day for the Colorado Buffaloes Rocky Mountain Showdown coming up tonight. Neil's dancing right now, doing his touchdown dance. The Rocky Mountain Showdown between the Buffs and the Rams. Finally, the season is here. It seems like eons, but all the hard work has paid off, and here we are.
Oh, yeah. Number one, be glad that this is podcast, not video, so you didn't see me dancing. But, yes, I am very, very happy. It's game day. Longest camp in Colorado football history. And we finally get to see what the Buffs are going to be made of tonight. A great opening game against Colorado State.
Last week, the first time we've had the podcast since the Rams played last week. Let's start out right there. What was your take on that 58-27 win by the Rammies over Oregon State, opening up that brand-new stadium in Fort Collins?
You know, number one, you have to like their offense. It's an offense that caught fire at the end of the year. They averaged almost 48 points a game for the last six games last year. They picked up right where they left off, scored 58 last week. Nick Stevens is a very polished, very veteran, good quarterback. He's got a great wide receiver in Michael Gallup. The thing that probably scares me most about Colorado State is that offensive line and their running game. They can control the clock and control the tempo with that running game. So I think that's what struck me there. Defensively, it struck me as a very opportunistic defense, but also a defense that came very close to giving up a lot of big plays, still gave up 400 and something yards. Mike Bobo said it best. He said, if we don't fix those things, Colorado's going to take advantage and score a lot of points on us. So that's you know, what I saw from those two areas.
You know, I'd have to say as well, I've been asked that question this week in a number of different shows. I said I was probably more impressed with CSU than I thought I was going to be and less impressed with Oregon State than I thought I was going to be. Rams were fantastic. They did what they had to do. I didn't think the Beavers played very well. I was guessing Gary Anderson have his team improved a little bit more than maybe what we saw?
Yeah, and I think Gary Anderson, in retrospect, would probably like to redo that schedule. He was supposed to play that game the third week of the year, and instead he chose to open up at Colorado State in August when you know it's going to be 90 degrees at altitude. And I think a team that doesn't have much depth, and Oregon State certainly doesn't have a lot of depth, I think that just exacerbated the problems they already had. And so I think Oregon State has some players, but certainly not enough depth to obviously hang with Colorado State. And this is a great opening game for Colorado. I can't think of a better way for Colorado to open the season. I know Mike McIntyre doesn't believe that because he'd like to open up and get some of the kinks out, but I think it's a great opening game.
You talked about what Mike Bobo, the head coach of the Rams, referred to in his defense. If we don't get this stuff taken care of, Colorado is going to exploit that. Steven Montez is taking a little heat this week because he said essentially the same thing. I'm a little surprised at kind of the play it's gotten. When you ask a player what you expect your offense to do, he's going to say, well, we're going to score points and we're going to win a ball game. That's the point of going out there and playing. I don't know why this has gotten so much play out there, considering especially Montez and Bobo said the same thing.
Yeah, and that's what kind of surprised me. People were stunned that Steven Montez was honest. You know, you hate to see a young college quarterback be honest, but he looked at that defense and he said, yeah, there are some weaknesses out there. Mike Bobo said the same thing in his press conference on Monday, that they're open on the seams, they're open on a lot of coverages, and that if they don't fix those things, Colorado's going to score a lot of points on us. And that's exactly what Steven Montez said. He looked at the film, he saw some weaknesses. They have a week to get them cleaned up, so we'll see what Colorado State does. But certainly I chuckled at people, you know, being upset that Steven Montez was honest, because, boy, you'd hate to see that.
Yeah, and if you go down the roster, every guy for the Rams is going to say, I think our team's going to win. Buffalo's going to say the same thing. Steven didn't really go out in the line or out on the limb here and say a whole lot of that was controversial, but people have taken it that way. You know, there's a lot of keys to this ballgame. You mentioned one. I think the rushing attack on both sides and how their defenses respectively handle it is going to be huge in this thing. Back to Montez for a second. Young quarterback. We've talked about kind of that gunslinger mentality. Thinks he can make every throw in the world. Doesn't always have to, but thinks he can. I'm wondering, is that going to be one of the things you'll watch early on here to see if he plays under control and doesn't try and do too much offensively?
Oh, that's one of the huge keys to this game, because, like I said, Colorado State forced 5 turnovers last week, and I think they had 3 picks and recovered a couple fumbles. That gave them the edge over Oregon State more than anything else. You know, if Oregon State doesn't turn the ball over, it's a 58-48 game. But they did. They turned it over 5 times. And that's what Steven Montez has to be very careful about, especially early in this game. Get his feet under him, throw some short passes, get his confidence going. Just get into that rhythm more than anything else. Get into an offensive rhythm and then go for the big play if that's what you want to do. But if Steven doesn't turn the ball over, if they don't fumble it, I think Colorado has a chance to control the tempo, put CSU on the defensive, and make them try and come back and get ahead. But if you throw a pick six or something early, certainly that changes the whole dynamic of that game.
And it's not like, you know, you and I are in Bill Walsh, for goodness sakes. Everyone knows this. I mean, we know the coaches have talked to Steven. Has Steven learned those lessons? I mean, you and I both talked to him about these kind of things. I think he understands that. I guess the question would be then, does he go out and, you know, mentally do that, or does instinct take over and he says, man, I can make any throw?
No, I think that's probably the biggest improvement I've seen in Steven throughout camp as it progressed. We even saw it a little bit early in camp. You and I were sitting there watching, and he'd see a tight window and say, I can fit it. Well, guess what? He couldn't. But I think as camp has progressed, he started to realize he is surrounded by so much talent in the running game, up front on the offensive line, and then obviously that great wide receiving core, that he doesn't have to carry this team. He doesn't have to make plays that are going to make the difference. All he has to do is distribute the ball, do all the right things, and everything else is going to take care of itself. I think he started reading the defense much better over the last couple of weeks and taking what they were giving him, but not yet trying to force some stuff. So I think that's been a big development in Steven Montez. The other thing about Steven is, kid's been in big games. He started at Autzen Stadium, which is, you know, renowned as one of the toughest places in America to play. Yeah. He started against USC, so he's seen big games. He's been in those situations. I don't think that affects Steven at all.
Back to the rushing aspect of this game. We certainly believe the Buffs will be able to run the football, that offensive line experienced. We've talked about that. Phillip Lindsay, Michael Atkins, very good running backs. We know the Rams have run the ball effectively late last season, last week. Is that going to be one of the indicators in this game?
Yeah, I think the running game is going to be a big deal. And I think I think Colorado State, and this is just a guess, I think they look at CU's offense and say, okay, we're not going to let them go up top. We're not going to let them throw over our heads. We're not going to let them beat us with the passing game. I think they come out with a stacked secondary, and I think they're going to make Colorado try and move the ball else, you know, some way else early, short passes in a running game. So I think Colorado may be forced. They're going to try and force Colorado's hand to come out and run the ball. That, if I'm Colorado, doesn't worry me a lot because I love Colorado's offensive line. I love Phillip Lindsay. And I think that, you know, I think they can come out and control the tempo, set the pace, do all those kind of things. And if CSU wants to, you know, I had one coach said, look, you know, if you're worried about your defense, you can either go all out and gamble or play it safe and die a slow death.
I've been doing that for 50 years, just dying a slow death myself. Hey, speaking of defense, can Colorado's defensive front, you know, you lose those 300-pounders off that front a year ago. Guys who've played certainly a number of snaps, I guess we don't know how they perform when the lights are really on, but can they slow down Colorado State's rushing attack?
That's probably the biggest question about that defense right there is you've got three new guys up front. Actually, Leo Jackson has played quite a bit, but you've got two guys that have never played a Division I snap. Chris Malumba, Javi Edwards have never played a Division I snap. That's going to be a big key for Colorado. Not only can they stop the running game, but can they put a little pressure on Nick Stevens without having to blitz a lot? If they can get pressure from those front three plus Derek McCartney coming off the edge, that's going to give their secondary a little bit more cushion. That's going to give them the ability to cover those wide receivers and force CSU into some second and longs and third and longs. But, yeah, when you talk about those three guys up front, what they can do against that running game, that's going to be a very important aspect of the game from the get-go.
You mentioned Derek McCartney getting pressure on Nick Stevens. And I'm sitting here thinking last year you had Jimmy Gilbert. He had, what, 10 and a half sacks, whatever it was. Is there going to be a 10-sack guy on this team this season?
I'm not sure there's going to be a 10-sack guy. I think it's going to be a lot more guys with 3, 4, 5 sacks just because of the way they're shuffling that defense a little bit and the way they're going to be bringing guys in and out and doing different things with it. So I fully expect Derek to have 6, 7, 8 sacks, you know, because he's that type of guy. He's had that kind of season before. If he stays healthy, there's no reason to think he can't have that. But I do think they're going to get some other guys that are going to get in on that. Some of the defensive linemen, maybe even a couple of those freshman linebackers get in there and get some stuff. Timmy Coleman coming in on pass rush specialist. So it's going to be more by committee than one guy. But I think they can still get to the quarterback effectively.
Sometimes individual matchups are so fun to watch. Now, I don't know if they can force the issue, but Michael Gallup, Isaiah Oliver could be a joy to watch if you're just a pure football fan on Friday night.
Oh, that's two guys that are going to play in the NFL. I mean, that's going to be that's a great matchup. And I was watching some CSU film this week and just looking and seeing what they did. CSU is really interesting. They have a lot of schemes and a lot of sets developed specifically for Michael Gallup and Nick Stevens. And then they move Michael Gallup around a lot. You'll see him in the slot. You'll see him out wide. You'll see him line up a little bit tight and then go in motion. What they're trying to do is make sure that they present every opportunity for Nick Stevens to get him the ball because he's a big, strong guy that has good ability to run after the catch. He's a tough guy to bring down. He's not a tall, you know, lanky receiver that once he catches the ball, he's easy to tackle. He's got a little bit of violence in his running, and so I think that's going to be a great matchup. Certainly Colorado wants to get Isaiah Oliver, who also is going to play in the NFL. They want to get him on Michael Gallup as much as possible.
And the Rams will try and force Gallup to be covered by Trey Udofia, aren't they?
Well, exactly. And that's you know, Trey Udofia has been walking around with a target on his back since the beginning of camp. He's a redshirt freshman, earned the starting job out there at cornerback, and Trey, I talked to him just the other day, and he knows this. He knows that the quarterback's walking up to the line of scrimmage and go, let's see. I see a possible first-round draft pick over there in Isaiah Oliver. I see a guy that's never played a Division I snap over here. Let's see who I'll throw. Who am I going to pick on? And so he knows he's got a target on it, but he had a really good camp, and I really think Trey's going to develop into a very quality defensive back.
We're coming to the end of this contract. I know there's conversations about it continuing now after a short hiatus. But the fact is, you and I are sitting here recording this on Thursday. Games on Friday night. There's 68, 69,000 tickets sold. They're expecting, you know, 75, maybe a sellout for that game. Is this something that needs to continue?
Oh, I think it needs to continue, but I don't think it has to be an every year thing. It's two schools that are in different conferences. One is a Power Five. One's not a Power Five, and I think that, you know, having covered this team long enough that I remember when they didn't play every year. I know. Yes.
Wow, are you old?
Well, they had leather helmets back then, and they didn't have face masks.
And they used an actual pig, not a pigskin.
Yeah, the doggone thing ran around. But, there's a novelty to this game, and it's a lot of fun. And if they play it, say, two out of every 4 years, I think it really will keep the interest up. I think it will help. I also like the fact that Colorado gets to play, you know, Air Force once in a while. And so I think it will help the game overall and create the interest. Because you and I both know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, there were games that they were wondering if they were going to get 50 or 60,000 people in. They weren't talking about 70. So I don't think it's bad for the game at all. And I want to see it on college campuses. Okay. I want to see this game on campus.
You know what also does wonders for the interest in this game? When both teams are good like they are right now.
This is the first time I looked this up, and I think this is the first time since the 2006 season that both of these teams are coming off of bowl seasons. So it's been 12 years since both of these teams have played in a bowl the previous year. And certainly that win over Oregon State for Colorado State has jacked up the interest in this game.
You know, we're going obviously very football heavy here today. We want to mention a couple of other things, and for obvious reasons with the game coming up tonight. But, you know, with what volleyball has done and soccer has done, and cross country is getting things underway here, it's been a pretty good fall so far for the Buffs.
It's been a great fall already. I mean, the soccer team's undefeated, coming off a big win last week. They're home this weekend. Volleyball team had a great start road trip down there. Won three in a row down at the Oklahoma tournament last week. What Jesse Mahoney is doing there is terrific. Danny Sanchez's soccer team. And I'm just going to throw cross country in there. Now, here's a big surprise. Okay, you may not believe this. The Colorado women were ranked number one in the nation this year, and the men were ranked fifth. And I know that that's a huge shock that the men were only fifth. I was laughing when people say, wow, the men were only ranked fifth in the nation out of 320-something teams. And that's just the Mark Wetmore factor there.
That's what you call success. Yeah, expectations. Yeah, the volleyball team, they're back at Boulder this weekend. Omni Invitational, Colorado hosting Wake Forest, Rice, and Abilene Christian on Saturday and Sunday at the Coors Event Center. And then the soccer team's got Cal State Northridge in town, 1 o'clock on Saturday at Prenta Field, then a Labor Day game versus number 17 BYU at 1 o'clock. We're going to be joined here in just a moment. I'm going to chat with Darian Hagan, the running backs coach for the Buffs. Do you have a favorite Darian Hagan story?
Having watched just about every game that he played when he was in college, I think just watching Darian Hagan play was a treat. I mean, you can talk about the moon pitch at Oklahoma. You can talk about the pitch 40 yards downfield, you know, when he's running along and all of a sudden decides to pitch it to J.J. Flanagan. And I think Darian got 0 yards rushing on the play. J.J. Flanagan got 70, you know, and they always tease Darian about that. But Darian was the ultimate competitor, and as far as great option quarterbacks, and that was an era when there were a lot of great option quarterbacks. Darian's as good an option quarterback as played the game in that era.
You know, he tells the story frequently, and Gary Barnett will argue this a little bit. Darian swears that back in the late 80s, he kept saying to Gary, why can't we run this stuff out of the shotgun? And Gary said, no, you can't do that. And now, of course, everybody runs that same stuff out of the shotgun. So Darian, on top of being a great player, was ahead of his time as well.
Yeah, Darian has as good of instincts as any player I've ever been around. I mean, I used to talk to him, and I still do, obviously, as a coach. He sees things that you and I could sit there and watch film for 4 hours, and we would never even know what the heck he's talking about. He just picks things up. He's been great for the program. And what he's done for Philip Lindsay has been terrific. I think he's been a big help to Philip, taught him a lot of the little nuances about being a running back, because Darian was a quarterback, but he was really a running back who played quarterback.
Well, we're going to let Neil go here. Of course, read his stuff. All the game recaps coming up after the ball game on Friday night. The Buffaloes and the Rams and the Rocky Mountain Showdown. By the way, our coverage gets underway at 4 o'clock with the Buffalo Stampede and the Colorado Football Network. Gary Barnett, Mike Pritchard, pretty good runner of his own right, will be joining us on the sidelines. Kickoff just after 6 o'clock as we bring in the Buffs great now, and now the running backs coach for the University of Colorado, Darian Hagan. Darian, welcome. You get yourself a little wrapped up, still a little nervous before ball games, or not?
I get excited. I don't get nervous anymore. when I was playing, I got nervous because I was involved with the outcome of it. But now I'm not involved. I'm cool and collected.
Now, as I recall hearing the stories, yeah, if he did get nervous, CJ wouldn't be here to talk you out of the stall anymore.
Right, he wouldn't. I used to get so nervous, man. I couldn't eat breakfast. I couldn't do anything until after the game. Then I was fine.
Take us through this camp. What do you like about what you've seen so far the last few weeks?
I like how we've come together on offense. You know, we first started, it was a little rough, you know, bumps in the road and here and there. But, you know, the guys have gotten better. They understand the game plan. But I'm really excited to see how well Phillip and Mike do, especially when they're playing, together. It's going to be special.
Michael's a great story, isn't he? Seeing him come back, be healthy. It's 2 years ago. I remember what he was like, rushing for over 500 yards. It was tough to see him not be out there last year, and now to be back. That's a great story.
It is. You know, I think anytime that your best friend, your roommate, had the success he had last year and you didn't have the success, you didn't get a lot of playing time, and you come back for your senior year, you want to make sure that you go out on top, and that's what he's done. He's made sure he's healthy, and he's trying to, you know, leave a legacy.
We all know, Phillip Lindsay talks all the time. All the time, literally. I didn't mean it that way, but he certainly does. Been a great story, been a leader on this team. Tell me something about this guy that you've seen as his position coach that maybe we don't know about him, or what makes him special? What makes him tick?
Well, he takes pride in, being from Colorado. And anytime that he has an opportunity to represent Colorado, he does it to the best of his ability. But what makes him really, really tick is – the other team talking trash. When people talk trash to him, it gets him fired up. Man, I have to calm him down. I have to put water on him.
He kind of runs on emotion, doesn't he?
He does. He everything is emotional for him. But, what's awesome about it is a lot of people say they play, for the state of Colorado. I play for my teammates and this and that. He's always consistently says that he plays for his mom. Yeah. His mom is going through some health issues. But he when he goes out there, he's thinking about her.
Is this offense? I mean, we all speculate. We watch it. Steven's got a very lively arm, great receivers, veteran offensive line, got good backs like you're talking about. Do you see this offense being maybe as explosive as we think it's going to be?
I do. I think, last year we were really explosive. But now, I think it's a year into it. Everybody knows it. We're playing faster than we played last year. I'm excited to see it. I just want to make sure that my guys are ready, and I just want to be – I'm glad I'm on that grand stage where I can watch Steven unleash.
Yeah, without question. Yeah, he's awful fun. How do you balance the emotion of this thing? You know what it's like as a young man to walk out there. After practice, Chev was talking to the guys about, hey, don't go out there and wear yourself out initially. How do you try to help balance that with these guys so they don't get too over-emotional and try and stay inside their own heads?
Well, you constantly talk to them. You talk to them about, it's not about them. It's not about Colorado State. It's about the Buffs, and just lean on that and understand that you don't have to go out there and do more than that you're capable of doing. Just do your job and we'll be fine.
When you look up there in that stadium, and we know that it's going to be essentially a sellout, and it's 50-50, it's kind of a cool thing for the state, isn't it?
It is. And, anytime you play against those guys and, you're playing at Mile High and, it's like a bowl game. The atmosphere, is really, really emotional, and both teams, want to own the state for that year. So it's fun competition.
What'd you see from the Rams last week?
They got after it. Yeah. They flew around on defense, on offense they played fast. So they were exciting to watch.
Is there value or an advantage in them playing? Or did the Buffs get to see what they do now? I mean, maybe it's a wash.
You would say, it was an advantage because they got one game under their belt, and then they can go into the second game, more prepared, and they don't have that emotion going, the first game. We will have that. But you're playing against your rival, and it's their rival.
Sure.
You throw everything out the window because now, it doesn't matter. You better show up. You better show up for 60 minutes.
All right, man. Going to be fun. Good luck.
Thank you.
And that'll put a wrap on Buffs Insider this week. It's all over, but for to play the game tonight, the Rocky Mountain Showdown, Friday evening, September 1st. Our pregame coverage again gets underway at 4 o'clock with Gary Barnett, Mike Pritchard, and yours truly from Mile High Stadium. We'll kick things off just after 6 o'clock. between the Buffs and the Rams. Once again, from my partner Neil Welk and for Darian Hagen, I'm voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. We'll talk to you next time.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.